It's amazing to me.
Many times we can read verses of scripture and come up with the wrong idea about what the verse is saying, even though the verse really is quite clear. Maybe you don't have that problem, but I have that for years. Problem with understanding what the scripture meant, even though it's a very popular verse, and even though we use it all the time. I don't know whether you ever misunderstood this verse or not, but it says, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." I used to, for years, think this meant that when we trusted the Lord, we shouldn't be ashamed of being a Christian. So that means we ought to be bold and a witness and so forth. But you know, that's not what that verse says.
That's right.
That verse says that whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. It doesn't say shouldn't be ashamed. It says shall not be ashamed.
Amen.
Now, look at what we've been singing now. And we've sung this same chorus over and over again. And look what it says. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me.
Amen.
And then the next verse says, yea, let none that wait on me be ashamed.
Amen.
What he's saying is simply this, that when we trust in the Lord, we'll never be put to shame.
Amen.
They'll never be able to shame us because our hope is in the rock of ages.
Amen.
Our trust is in the living God.
Amen.
We will not be ashamed. Now, that doesn't mean we may not sometimes have a shame, and sometimes the devil, you know, he really messes up our mind and gets us a thinking that we ought to be ashamed of the Lord. But what it's saying is we'll never be confused. We'll never be put down. The Lord will never forsake us. The enemy will never triumph over us because we put our trust in the living God.
Amen.
I think that verse means an awful lot more to me now. When I read over here where it says in verse 11 of Romans 10, for the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. I tell you, you'll be ashamed that day when he comes.
Amen.
Amen.
When they blow that trumpet and the Lord Jesus descends with a shout, I tell you, you won't be anybody ashamed then if you put your trust in him.
Amen.
We're not ashamed now.
Amen.
In the sense of being put to confusion. I tell you, when we put our feet on the solid rock, we'll never be moved.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Verse 97.
Thinking about eating and not eating there, but eating here.
Amen.
You know, some women that cook, they like to try new things all the time. Susan and my wife, they like to try new things every day, you know, and they get cookbooks, you know, and all these new meals, you know, and things I never tried before, and they put them for me, you know, I try to eat them. Hey, that was good, honey. Next time, make some beans and rice. But
Amen.
I'm a simple guy. I don't really care for all these new new meals they make, you know, all these, amen. They put all five things together, you know, and cheese and, oh, man. All these new things. I'm just a simple guy. I just want to have beans and rice and blueberry cobbler. I do like blueberry cobbler. But, you know, some people think that, if you, that it's not very spiritual to eat something, you ought to share something that's old hat. Some people think that you have to get up and give something brand new that nobody in the world knows except you. Yeah. And if you don't do that, then you're just normal. You're just waiting down here. And if you give something that nobody knows, then that's something new, and it'll bless everybody, and it'll be great. But have you ever tried eating something that you've eaten every day? Have you ever tried eating something, the word that's old hat to everybody? Look at Ephesians 2. Everybody's read Ephesians 2, I'm sure.
Amen.
Start with verse 11. Ephesians 2:11. Let's just eat this. Amen. Wherefore remember that in ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. Then at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, we who sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
For he is our peace.
Amen.
Who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us.
Amen.
Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments containing ordinances,
amen.
For to make in himself of twain one new man,
amen.
So making peace.
Amen.
And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby,
amen.
And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Look at Psalm 147.
Amen.
Psalm 147. Got some commands in here. Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord. For it's good to sing praises unto our God.
Amen.
It's a good thing. Now, when you start singing praises to our God, you're doing a good thing.
Amen.
Amen. Not only that, it is pleasant.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord, for it is pleasant.
Amen.
And that's not all. Praise is comely.
Amen.
Isn't that a beautiful word?
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is
amen.
Pleasant, and praise is comely.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord doth build up Jerusalem.
Amen.
He gathered together the outcasts of Israel.
Hallelujah.
Why don't we modernize that a little bit? The Lord doth build up the church.
Amen.
And he gathers the outcasts of all mankind.
Amen. Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
He healeth the broken in heart.
Amen.
Have you ever had your broken heart healed by the Lord?
Amen.
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 Amen. He bindeth up their wounds. Oh,
Amen.
Many times I've been wounded, and the Lord had to bind them up.
Amen.
Then look at verse 5. Great is our Lord,
Amen.
And a great power is understanding is infinite.
Praise the Lord.
I'm telling you, your problems may have you down, but they don't have him down.
That's right.
You may see no solution to your problem, but he knows the solution to your
Amen.
Problem.
Amen.
So our whole trust is that we seek the Lord and trust in him.
Amen.
Verse 6. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Verse 7. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving.
Hallelujah.
Sing praise upon the heart
Amen.
Unto our God.
Amen.
Who covereth the heavens with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse.
Right.
He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man.
Amen.
So many times we think that the Lord looks for our strength. You know, oh, there is a strong brother, or here is a great method, or here is a new way. Look what the Lord's looking for. Man, the Lord's looking for a strong man, or somebody can run long. No, that's not what he says.
That's right.
He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure
Hallelujah.
In them that fear him.
Amen.
In those that hope in his mercy.
Hallelujah.
I will yet hope more and more, the Bible says.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hope more and more his mercy.
Amen.
That reminds me of Jacob. You know, the Bible says that God is the God of Jacob more than anyone else. And you have hope for us in that.
Amen.
Jacob was that kind of man.
Amen.
He was just a maverick. He's always trying to figure out a better way to do something. Or trying to figure out how to get more than his share. That sounds like us. He was a man that was often faulty. God that He is a God of Jacob.
Amen.
You know what it says here? It says the Lord takes pleasure in them that fear Him and those that just hope in His mercy. You know, we don't have much merit, do we?
Right.
We can sure hope for His mercy.
Amen.
I tell you, when we start thinking about who we are and what we've done, we're in trouble. We better think about who He is and what He's done.
Amen.
It's a God of mercy. He's a God whose mercy endures forever. And I'm really glad that He said He was a God of Jacob. Because if He said He's a God of David, or the God of Abraham, those guys did a lot of things that I may not ever be able to do. But He said He's the God of Jacob. And I don't find very much good in Jacob, but I find him trusting in the Lord.
Amen.
I find him leaning on the Lord. I find him just calling out to the Lord. And that's what we can do. That's what He's put us here for, just to trust in His mercy. Not to be strong in ourselves, but just to look to Him.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise
the
Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem.
Amen.
Praise thy God, O Zion.
Praise
the Lord. Thou art worthy, O Lord.
Amen. You know, look in Psalms 103. I got a blessing the other night when Linda was going through this. In verse 19, the Lord hath prepared His throne in the heaven, and His kingdom ruleth over all.
Amen.
You know what I was thinking about this? We've got a wise God, and we've got a God that's merciful. We could have some knockhead, that says, well, you did that wrong. We've got a merciful God.
Amen.
And He's all wise,
Praise the Lord.
We're completely stupid compared to the wisdom of God.
Amen.
That was just a blessing.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm glad we've got the God we've got.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Turn to the book of Song of Solomon in your Bible on page 1023 of mine.
Is that the right book?
You're right. It starts with verse 3, the middle part of verse 3. My name is Arnold Ford Ford.
My name is Ezekiel
think, Lord, that's really inspiring. In verse chapter 3, it says, I found him.
Amen.
For my soul loved
him. Amen.
I held him, and I would not let go.
Amen.
You know, people are trying to get us to let go of our Jesus.
That's right.
You know? But we found him.
Amen.
Whom we love. And we shouldn't let him go.
Amen.
You know, and in the other verse it says that we run after Jesus.
Amen.
In verse 3 of chapter 4 it says, draw me, we will run after
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
And people might ask you, they might say, well, what are you doing? You know, what are you Christian people doing? We're running after Jesus.
Amen.
You know, and that's what we're doing. We're running after Jesus. And you see us today. And that's what we're doing. We're running
Amen.
After Jesus. You know, we're trying to get
Amen.
A little bit closer to the Lord. So we may seem a little strange today, but we're trying to get a little bit closer to the Lord.
Amen.
And don't mess with us. You know, we don't want to let go of our Jesus.
Amen.
We're running after our Jesus. And you know, it tells us why. It says his love is much better than wine.
Amen.
That's why we're running after Jesus.
Amen.
His love is much better than wine.
Praise
we don't
the Lord.
Have to go out and get drunk with wine. You know, where there's excess, but we can get drunk with the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You know, and it may look like we're drunk today. You know, they even said on the day of Pentecost, they said that these men are full of new wine. They were full of new wine.
Amen.
You know, and that's what I want to be full of. I want to be full of the new wine.
Amen.
And not this stuff that we're seeing around, you know, that we're afraid of and that is strange. But I want to be filled with the new wine that the Bible talks about.
Amen.
But I'm also running after the Lord because his name is as wonderful.
Amen.
You know, the Lord's name is so wonderful, you know. And one person couldn't stand up and tell you all about the Lord and describe all to you about the Lord. One person couldn't do it. The Bible says all the books in the world cannot contain the
Amen.
Knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We can write forever. We can put each one of us can take up a pen and start writing. And we couldn't tell about the Lord Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
We couldn't. The Bible says half has not been told.
Amen.
We can't tell it all. But yet we stand up and we try to tell a little bit about our Lord and our Savior. And each one of us can do that. Each one of us. And that's what we should do. Is get up and tell a little bit
Amen.
About our Savior.
Praise
there's some other verses in here saying why we're running after Jesus. It says he is fair.
Our
Amen.
Lord is fair.
Amen.
Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. That's why Amen. We're running after Jesus, because he's fair. You know, we tried a lot of things in the world. Each
that's
and every
right.
one of us, you know. But you know something? Those things weren't fair.
Right.
They weren't right. fair. But now we're after Jesus.
Amen.
He's the lovely one.
He's Amen. Really fair. He's Amen, brother. He's the lovely one.
Amen.
And then in verse 1 it says that, excuse me, I'm always on verse 1. Chapter 7 and verse 6 it says, how fair and how pleasant art thou.
Amen.
Our Lord is pleasant. Oh, Amen. What a pleasant Lord we have.
Amen.
You know, I just thank the Lord that he's so good to us. And you know, each and every one of us should run after the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord drew us, the Bible says, and he's drawing men so that they would run after him.
Amen.
You know, and that's the reason why we're here today. If you came for any other reason but to run after the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to stop and think and regroup a little bit.
Amen.
Because we come to run after the Lord Jesus Christ. He's drawing us here to this place right here. It wasn't Brother Kincaid. It wasn't Brother West. It wasn't the good songs that we sing, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all
Amen.
Here so that we can all run after him.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink.
Amen.
He that believes upon me, as the scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living
Amen.
Water.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, the God of Jacob. Talks about old Jacob one time back in the scriptures, and he was wrestling names of him. You know what?
He wouldn't let go.
Amen!
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, we
ought to
be before our Lord Jesus. You know, when we get a hold and we lay hands on a tomb, we don't sell it. You know?
Right.
We don't sell the Lord Jesus short. Well, he's what we're occupied is. He's what we want. You know what it says over in Hebrews? For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know what happens when you lay hands on the whole, lay hold of the Lord Jesus, and you don't let go? You find grace.
Amen.
And you find mercy to help in time of need.
Amen.
And I'm glad, and I praise the Lord Jesus, and I thank you for all the times that he's had mercy and that he's given me grace to help in time of need.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You know, I said I'm going to get up very many times today.
Amen.
I just didn't sort of keep it. You know, sometimes we don't relate things like we ought to our personal lives. You know, that second verse in chapter 1 says, thy love is much better than wine. I don't know anything about wine, but I know that, that his love is better than the next sentence.
Amen.
To me, a next sandwich is about as good as you get. I'm like my son George. Never always find something new. Not always, but often find something new. You know, I'm just so simple. An egg sandwich is just great. Because I can't think of anything better than an egg sandwich. Except the love of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, what you need to do is to relate the love of Jesus in your life. You know, if you say that his love is better than wine, you don't like wine, that's not so good. But think about the best thing that you like, the very favorite thing that you have, is the love of Jesus better than you can have. That's what he's saying here. You think of the best thing you can think of, and the love of Jesus is better than that. So for me to sing the song, I say the love of Jesus is better than egg sandwiches. And that makes sense to me now. It may not make sense to you, but you may not like egg sandwiches. But I tell you what, his love is better than anything. If you haven't experienced it, if you haven't tried it, you ought to try it. It's good.
Amen.
I would like to share something. Oliver has never tasted wine, so he doesn't know about that. Before I was saved, I have a testimony that I did drink wine, and I drank a lot of it, and I liked it. And I want to testify that the love of Jesus is better than
me. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We have a lesson with Proverbs, chapter 4. Says verse 17, 18, and 19 says, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence, but the path of the just is as a shining light.
Amen.
That shineth more and more unto the perfect day.
Hallelujah.
The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not where they stumble.
Amen.
You know, when we come together like this, people think we're crazy. If people come in for the first time and hear it, they would really think, you know, we're strange people. But I got to think, you know, if I were listening to you talking to your wife or your sweetheart, I'd probably think you were crazy. The things we're saying are not to each other, they're to the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
And, you know, they're kind of private. We do it all together, but it's really to the Lord. So, you know, if we're strange, well, that's right. We just be strange. The things that we say to each other in private, to our husband, our wife, or our sweetheart, they're just sort of private for me, aren't they? And, you know, I think it'd be nice. Maybe it's kind of help you to relax a little bit. Why don't everybody here that would like you without, you know, being pushed or shoved or dragged, why don't you stand up and say the love of Jesus is better and whatever you like best.
Amen.
Love of Jesus is better than a Big Mac.
Love of Jesus is better than chicken mole.
Amen.
The love of Jesus is better than Blue Bay Cobbler.
Amen.
Love of Jesus is better than Dr. Pepper.
Amen. Love of Jesus is better than Chiles
Rellenos.
Amen. The love of Jesus is better than fried potatoes, pralines and cream, and steak.
Amen.
Love of Jesus is better than anything.
Amen.
Love of Jesus is better than the treasures and lust of the world.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Also, when we went to the marriage, I think
love of Jesus is better than fighting.
Amen.
Amen.
The love of Jesus is better than my dog.
Amen.
The love of Jesus
is better than my cats.
Amen.
The love of Jesus is better
than chocolate. Amen. Amen. New pickup. Amen.
Amen.
Lord.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Praise
the
Lord Jesus.
The love of Jesus is better.
Amen.
The love of Jesus is better than the United States Army.
The love of Jesus is better than even cough.
Amen.
The love of Jesus is better than the Dallas Cowboys.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Jesus. Amen.
Praise your Lord Jesus.
Love of Jesus is better than everything I want.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, there's a song we let the kids listen to it in Mexico. It's about Sesame Street, and you know, you got a cookie monster, and he likes cookies. And then he talks about him eating breakfast, and one of his friends, I don't know who he is, comes up and asks him, well, what do you eat for breakfast? And he sings a little song about what he eats for breakfast, and he has cookie juice and scrambled cookies or fried cookies. And the guy says, well, why don't you try something new? He says, Well, why? When you got cookies, why would you try something new?
Amen.
In the same way, you know, when you have the Lord Jesus,
amen,
why do you want anything else?
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Jesus.
Proverbs
chapter 23.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't give us
something new now,
brother.
I was talking about wine a while ago. Chapter 29. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? That's right. Who has contention? Who has babbling? Who has rules without cause? Who has been to survive? They don't carry along with the wine.
That's right.
But then go back to the mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it's red, when it giveth its tongue the cup, when it loseth itself aright. At last it bites like a serpent, it stings like an adder. I never drink any wine. It's too weak for me.
That's right.
Amen.
Jesus is better than that.
Amen.
Better than wine and the Spirit is a lot better.
Amen. In the Bible, wine speaks of joy.
Amen.
Wine speaks of joy. Not always, but it does have one of those the intentions behind it. And you know, it says the love of Jesus is better than wine.
Praise
the Lord. The world and the things that it offers, you know, behind it, a sense that they say you're going to have a joy, you know, a happiness or something like that. But you know, the love of Jesus gives a joy that's incomparable.
Amen.
And there's no equal to it.
Amen.
And really, the joy that the world offers you to its so-called wine, so to speak, this is really the end of it. Divide it like that.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
So really, there's no comparison. Thank the Lord for it. The love of Jesus.
Amen.
The love of Jesus with joy that
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.
The love of Jesus is better than life.
Amen.
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 the love of the Lord Jesus and how he loved me so much. And, you know, for about the first 6 or 8 months that I was a Christian, I never once said that I love Jesus. I love the Lord Jesus. I never once outwardly or even inwardly expressed that I love the Lord Jesus, because I couldn't, you know, I was grateful to him that he saved my soul and he cleansed my sins, and I was happy for that. But amen. I wasn't ever sure if I could really say that I loved him. Because in my family, when I grew up, it just wasn't something for us to do to say, well, I love you, you know. We never said that. And so I didn't really have maybe an understanding of what it meant. But you know, there's a verse in 1 John that really blessed me. And it got me to thinking, well, because of this verse that I read, I can say that I love the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
It says there in verse 10, it says, herein is love, of chapter 4, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. It says, herein is love.
Amen.
Not that we love God, but that he loved us.
Amen.
And sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Amen.
Then down there in verse 19 it says, we love him because he first loved us.
Amen.
And I realized that it wasn't any kind of a feeling that I couldn't recognize that I had to build up in order to be able to love the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm able to love him because he first loved me. Amen. And gave his Son to be a propitiation for my sins, to be a sacrifice for my sins. And my gratefulness and my attitude towards that, and I started thinking about that, I started meditating on that, and I started getting real happy.
Amen.
Now I can say that because of Amen. What he did for me, Amen. And because he first loved me, I love the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all things what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Remember, it says here, with all things.
Amen.
You know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with the fullness of God.
Amen.
I can make a point on that. I come from a family where love wasn't shown. It was more inward, more strict, or it was more rigid, you know. And it wasn't something shown that much. But Dale's a good example. I understood the love of the West family, when I seen the love in between their families, that was new to me. I never seen a family like that. But I was thinking right here in this verse, we comprehend the love of Christ that passes knowledge by the love, and we see in each one of us, and we're a family, of God.
Amen.
We can comprehend it with all the saints.
Amen.
It's not a matter of comprehending just in you.
That's
what I have to comprehend with all the saints.
Amen.
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 It's a body thing. Amen. I
know y'all know, but I'm going to say it.
Amen.
There's a lot of love right here.
Amen.
And when we leave here, we really miss it. And for myself, I want to tell you that I really miss it. And I miss your praise, and I miss your
Amen.
I miss your love.
Amen.
And I just want to thank the Lord for you, and I want to thank the Lord for being here, and I want to thank the Lord for being able to eat all the food you all throw out, you know? And if you have any extra, just, you know, chip it on down in the gallon.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
What number is that?
A.
Inside front cover.
Inside cover of the cover.
We love the Lord in the name of Jesus. It's the name of all things under our hands. As we breathe the precious name, love is in there.
Thank you.
at Ecclesiastes chapter 7. He says a good name is better than precious ointment, and a day of death than the day of one's birth. And hold your finger there and go over to Proverbs 22:1. It says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I thank God for the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I'm so thankful that there's salvation in that name. I'm thankful that there's strength in that name. I'm thankful there's comfort in that name.
Amen.
I'm thankful
Amen.
For all the blessings of answered prayer we get in that name.
Amen.
It's a blessed name. The Bible says a good name is rather be chosen is better than precious ointment. And you know, my friends, I'm so thankful.
Amen.
I'm so thankful for the grace of God and the mercy of God. As we are singing about the name and about that which is better than, he says a good name is better than precious ointment. I got to thinking about, come on in. I got to thinking about over there that Mary, when she made that sacrifice of ointment. Look at Matthew 26. Verse 6, it says, Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having in an alabaster box a very precious ointment,
Amen.
And poured it on his head as he sat in meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, What purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it and said unto them, Why trouble you the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with ye, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, whithersoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her.
Amen.
I believe that Mary read Ecclesiastes chapter 7.
Amen.
I believe that she said that this ointment is not worth in comparison to that precious name.
Amen.
I can't help but believe, my imagination runs wild, I can't help but believe that Mary had done a lot of saving to buy that ointment.
Amen.
I don't know how old Mary is. She might be 25, she might be 19, she might be 30. I don't know how old she is. But I can't help but believe that she's been saving that for a long time. I know some ladies, they have what they call hope chests. I mean, they're putting things in all the time. They think about it. Every once in a while, they'll get their mother around, and they'll go through that hope chest. They're waiting for the day that they'll be married. They're looking forward to that day when they can go and use the things in that hope chest.
Amen.
I kind of feel that Mary was doing the same thing with that ointment. Maybe she was saving it for that special night.
Amen.
That wedding night. Maybe she was saving, maybe for some other special occasion. But you know, here she comes. As they come, I believe Lazarus was there, and they were preparing a supper. Mary's there, Martha's there preparing a supper. And she goes back in her bedroom. And there on her desk there on her dresser, is that box of ointment. Maybe she opens up the Word of God, pulls that old scroll back, and reads Ecclesiastes 7. Can you see the big tears rolling down her eyes? Huh? She thinks about that ointment and then she thinks about her Lord. She looks at the ointment and then she thinks about her Lord. Huh? It's better than egg sandwich. And she takes that box and she walks into the Lord and she breaks that box open and pours the oil.
Amen.
Praise
the Lord.
I tell you what, she believed God.
Amen.
She believed God.
Amen.
A precious name is better than ointment. But you know, I thank God for that. I don't know about you, but I get stirred at thinking about people that would do something for God.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
I get stirred when I see somebody. I'm going to step out and gamble on God.
Amen.
I'm going to invest, not in this world, but I'm going to cast all my riches, everything that I value in this world, and I'm going to give it to Jesus. That's an encouragement to me.
Amen.
That just brings joy to my heart to see someone that step out by faith
Amen.
And do something for God.
Amen.
You know what? She had to believe that there was something eternal.
Amen.
She had to believe that that ointment wasn't going to last, and she invested. She had more faith than the rest of the disciples.
That's right.
What did they say? Oh, you've made a great waste.
That's right.
I mean, what have you done? I think is this a passage here where they say that?
Yeah.
Verse 8, he says, To what purpose is this waste? Huh? Isn't that the natural comment
right,
of people?
Right.
Huh? What are you doing wasting yourself on Jesus? I mean, why don't you go out and get you a good job? I mean, why don't you go out and do something else with your life? Why are you wasting your time? I mean, you could be on a football game today. What are you doing here? And they come up with the comments, to what purpose is this waste? Why are you going to the meetings all the time? I mean, don't you have something else to do? Why are you making this waste? Mm-hmm. Notice what else they say. Well, this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Huh? Well, I got written my Bible. Then again, it might not have.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen. Amen.
John 12. Well, I think it's also in Mark.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
We'll go to John 12, then we'll come back to Mark. I think it's the other place. But when I give the different captions of this story, they make a few good points, and I'd like to try to catch all those points this morning. I believe it's the first six verses we find the story again. And Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. And then took Mary a pound of ointment, spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. I'd like to say here in verse 3 are some points that we can learn something, or a blessing to me. She took something that was very costly, and it gave to Jesus. And you know, my friends, that's a blessing to me. It's one thing to give God the few dollars that's left over at the end of the month. It's another thing to give God that which is very costly. We got to laughing the other day about what people give to missionaries. Left-footed tennis shoes, a whole box full of them. You know, used tea bags. And also, you know, isn't it amazing what people want to give to God? I mean, we'll give you our holy socks, you know. After all, they are holy. And we'll give them to you. But they think about giving something old and used to a missionary, but they never think about going out and buying something new and giving to a missionary. Huh? Or giving to the work of God. But she said, I'm going to take that which is very costly. Amen. Not only was it very costly, but it said over in the other passage, very precious.
Amen.
You know, my friends, when people do something like that, you know what the result is? It's the whole house is filled.
Praise
the
Lord.
Huh? Right. I see a type of scripture of the church of God being the house of God.
Amen.
I see that. And I can't help but believe when the saints of God invest something very costly,
amen,
and very precious, and they break it over the head of Jesus and wipe his feet with it, and the whole house is filled.
Amen.
With the order of it. That's a blessing.
Amen.
You know, I look around this room, I see some people that invested. I think, they didn't have necessarily have the order, but they had some things that were very precious to them. And I think about that just brings it.
Amen.
And they went and they invested that in Jesus. And they broke it. And then wiped their feet with him. That's a blessing.
Amen.
The whole house was filled. Notice something else. She wiped his feet with her hair.
Amen.
She took her glory and wiped his feet.
That's right. Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
That's what it says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. She took her glory and wiped his feet.
Amen.
Oh, my friends, we need to take our glory and wipe the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
Then look back in Mark 14, I think is the other place. Mark 14. It tells us here that she breaks the box. Again, they say, why was the waste of this ointment made? But I want you to look at the comment that Jesus makes about what she did in verse 8.
Amen.
She had done what she could.
Amen.
She has come aforehand to anoint my body for the burial. She had done what she could. You know, there's probably a lot of ladies in Jerusalem at the time that couldn't go in and have a box of ointment and break it and anoint the feet of Jesus, even if they wanted to, because they didn't have it. They didn't have it. But you know, this lady did what she could.
Amen.
And that's a blessing.
Amen.
Some people, they don't have an eloquent voice that they can stand up and sing the praises of God with eloquence or with harmony or whatever the terms you use in the God's name. They can't do it, but they do what they can.
Amen, brother.
My friend, that's
Amen.
A blessing to me.
Amen.
Some people, maybe they can't preach a great, great and strong and powerful sermon, but you know they can go out and knock on the door.
Amen.
And do what they can. That's a blessing to me.
Amen.
And you know, I thank God for every one of you missionaries. I thank God for your faith.
Amen.
Every time I want to give, the old devil whispers in my ear, say, Brent, why don't you just give it up? I think about 8 missionaries on the field. I ain't going to do it.
Amen.
I ain't going to do it. If they can hang in and stay strong, then so can I.
Amen.
I mean, if they can put up with black beans and all that stuff down there, then surely I can put up with fried potatoes.
Amen.
Huh? Oh, what a blessing. As I go through this scripture, I think about all the people that have invested themselves in God. That's encouragement to me.
Amen.
And then you know what's even more blessing? It's one thing to read about it, it's another thing to see it in the lives of people. Marty, you're a blessing to me.
Amen.
Dale and Melba, you're a blessing to me.
Amen.
Mike and Susan, you're a blessing to me.
Amen.
Joe and Yoshi, you're a blessing to me.
Amen.
Billy and Cindy, you're a blessing.
Amen.
Joe and Debbie, you're a blessing.
Amen.
Tony, you're a blessing to me.
Amen.
Adrian Arlene, where are you at? Over here somewhere. You're a blessing to me.
Amen.
Where's the rest of you? I miss one. I don't want to miss one. You're a blessing to me. I look around this room, I see some soldiers of God.
Amen.
That have invested some very precious things in God. You're a blessing.
Amen.
I tell you what, I just thank God for it.
Thank you, Lord.
His name is a blessing.
Amen.
It's better than oil. It's better than the things of this world. It's better than anything this world has taught. What a blessing. Praise the Lord.
Let's take number 88.
Preaching, have you ever preached this story? Brother Billy, you know what?
memorial has been preached.
Amen.
Amen.
Around the world.
Amen.
And what about the love of God, you know? That Christ could have said, I deserve it. You know? I'm going to die. I deserve hell. But he did. And in his love, he said, you know, your sacrifice, I'm free. I'm free.
Amen.
And it won't be in vain. Brethren, our labor in the Lord
Amen.
Is not in vain.
Amen.
A loving Savior. What a loving God we have.
Amen.
You were talking about the name of Jesus. And I want to relate to you something that happened to us. We were on a festival in Guanajuato. We were passing out tracts. And we were sitting there at night passing out tracts, waiting for people to come out of this stadium. Passing out these tracts, and three people come around and sort of surround me, and they start asking me questions, you know. They did to Jesus. They accused him vehemently, trying to catch him at his word. Well, they were trying to catch me at my word. And they were asking me, you know, do you really think you're getting anywhere? And why did you write this? And then finally they came down and said, what's y'all's group's name? You know y'all's group. What's y'all's name? I said, well, we're just Christians. And he said, no. I mean, your group, you know, your group. We're all Christians. Your group. I said, well, no, we're just Christians. I said, we don't have any special group. We're just Christians. He said, well, how many people are in your group? And I said, what group? He said, you know, the Christian. I said, oh, Christian. There's millions of Christians. He said, no. He said, no. I mean, your group. How many is in your group? I said, what group? Well, you know, you said you're Christian. I said, yeah, I know. And there's millions of Christians. They're all over the world. They're in Ethiopia. They're in Africa. They're everywhere. And he said, you know, I don't want to talk to you anymore. They just left. You know, I was kind of thinking. In Mexico, they have a custom of having two names, two last names. And every time they ask me my name, I give them, you know, I'm William Roscoe Kincaid. And they say, Kincaid what? And I said, just Kincaid. I'm just Kincaid. They said, well, Kincaid what? I'm sorry. They cannot be satisfied that I only got one last name. And you know, the people in the world, they're not satisfied that we only got one name.
Amen.
They're not satisfied. They want to label you some other way.
That's right.
And brethren, I just got one name.
Amen.
I would not appreciate it if my wife called herself Cindy Kincaid Reagan. And I know Reagan is a good name, you know, and I mean, he gives her a lot of prestige, and it helps her out a lot. And, you know, people respect her more when they say, and, you know, people seem to recognize that name more than they do other names. But I wouldn't appreciate it.
Amen.
Jesus doesn't appreciate it when you call yourself by
That's
any
right.
other name.
Amen.
He's got a name that he is proud of.
Amen.
He's got a name that he accepts. He's got that one and only name, and that's all I am. I'm
Amen.
Just a Christian.
Amen.
And I'm glad just to be a Christian.
Amen.
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 Amen. I like the Christian talk about the Lord. Back in 1 Kings, chapter 10. When you see the chapter, you'll become familiar with it. And some of y'all have heard from this once, but I thought I'd share for those of you who haven't. The story is about the Queen of Sheba. You know how she comes to visit Solomon one day. And she comes up there and she comes up with her chariots and all this gold and prestige. She's a queen. She's not just some, you know, lady down the street. She's a queen. She comes up to visit Solomon, who is a great king. He's not just a local guy. He's a tremendous guy. She comes up there and she's got some questions, and it says in verse 2 that she communed them all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her, verse 3, all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And, you know, the New Testament says one day Jesus was demon, and he said, you know, in this place there's one greater than Solomon.
Amen.
And here is a man who doesn't have a thing as far as possessions. He doesn't have a home. He doesn't have a chariot. He doesn't have a baggage, extra clothes. He didn't have nothing except what people gave him for food and maybe clothes. He didn't have anything. And yet he makes a tremendous statement. He said, in this place, all of himself is one greater
Amen.
Than Solomon.
Amen.
That's because he's the real king.
That's right.
Amen. Solomon is a shadow.
That's right.
Jesus. Brother. He's a shadow. And so I like to relate that Solomon is as he's the Lord Jesus here. And Queen of Sheba, well, let's just say that maybe I'll just say that to us. And we're going to visit the king a little bit here. And it says that in verse 4, when the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he built. You know, Paul said, he said, Christ has made unto us what?
Wisdom.
Amen.
Wisdom.
You know what the wisdom of Christ said sometimes? He said, follow me.
Amen.
He said, follow me.
Amen.
And he said, if you lose your life for my sake,
Amen.
There's another statement that he made. And he also said, he said, come unto me.
Amen.
His wisdom is directing you to follow him.
Amen.
And,
Amen.
Him. And you know, that's not the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the world says, go here and go there and maybe follow yourself, be independent, all that stuff like that. And yet, the real wisdom is to follow Christ.
Amen.
He's the one with all the wisdom.
Amen.
He's like, he's got all the smarts. He's got all the marbles, you know?
That's right.
And then it says she saw all that wisdom, and then she said that she saw that the house that he built.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He's building a house.
Amen.
Amen. It's called a church.
Amen.
And you know, this is a pretty average building, you know. It's got lights like every other building in the world. It's got walls just like every other building. But Jesus is building a building, and it's made out of a lively stone.
Amen.
It's made out of people.
Amen.
Amen. You can't go anywhere else in the world to see a building like that. That's an unusual building.
Amen.
See, God didn't deal with dead things such as wood and plastic and things like that. It was life.
Amen.
It takes some people who are dead and transplant them into some old dead and brings life out of them.
Amen.
It was a tremendous building out of it. And Clint and Sheba said, that's pretty amazing.
Amen.
And then it goes on in verse 5, it says, she saw the meat of his table.
Praise the Lord.
The meat of the table. You know, I've seen some of y'all eat this past week.
Amen.
Y'all thought that food in there was really good. And it was. And some of y'all came out with two or three plates and all kinds of helpings and went back for second and third. And it was. It was good stuff. But you know, have you ever ate of the will of God?
Amen.
You know, we kind of shy back a lot of times from the Lord's will. But that's the best kind of meat you could ever
get
inside you. You know? And you know, the Lord's will might be that he put you with an irate husband. Or the will of the Lord might be that he put you in some other country, not living in comfortable United States. Or put you in some real tight bind, but you're not the best place you could ever be.
Amen.
Because, you know, I saw a sign one time that says, the gardener's closest when he's pruning.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. You may be well, I'm not satisfied with the will of God right now. I don't like this meat that he's giving me. Living his closest when he's working on it.
Amen.
So, work on it, Lord.
Yeah, amen. So she was amazed at the meat of his table, the will of God. And then it says she saw the sitting of his servants. The sitting of his servants.
Yeah.
I don't know about y'all. I don't know if you've ever stood there. You know, just sat down to feed the Lord. But, you know, he said that was the better thing to do.
Amen.
That's the real choice, just to sit in the bedroom. We want to run here and there, and we're so caught up in being busy and running about and trying to make a living, and very seldom do we ever really sit.
Help us to sit, Lord.
Amen.
Well, we sit in the seat of the scornful sometimes, you know.
Yeah, right.
I tell you, it'd be well just to sit in his feet sometimes. Mm. And she said, then she saw the attendance of his minister.
Praise the Lord.
You know?
Amen.
A lot of people attend under the stock market and they attend football games and stuff like that. They're not like they're attending the bed this morning. But you know, we're here and we're going to attend unto the Lord.
Amen.
And it's worse. You know, some people got mad one time. Jesus was really preaching hard. And he said, you know, he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have any life in you. And that was a hard thing. And they left. And he turned and said, hey, you guys going to leave too? And Peter said, well, where are we going to go? Thou hast the word.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Listen, we need to meet with him and stay with him and hold on to him. Don't let go.
Amen.
Amen.
Attend unto him.
Amen.
Not only listen, but attendance, being with him. Amen. And she saw some areas. She saw his cupbearers and she saw his ascent by which he went into the house of the Lord. And then she said there was no more spirit in it. She just kind of swooned and fainted away. And you know, Kevin mentioned that phrase in verse 7. It says, the half was not told me. She heard some tremendous things about Solomon. But when she actually saw all these things, she said, that's amazing.
Amen.
She just kind of fainted away. And you know, we really enjoy the things of God.
Right.
This week we've come and we've praised the Lord for his mercy and for his grace. For his love and for forgiving our sins, and we've praised him for a lot of things this week. But you know, the half has been told.
Amen.
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 Right.
We've heard about heaven, and we've heard about the mansion he's built, you know, and I think the half has been told.
Amen.
When we get to heaven, we're going to be amazed.
That's right.
I don't know if we're going to faint up there, but we'll see the beauty
of
the Lord.
Amen.
We're
going
to be caught up on him.
Amen.
Hold on.
Amen. Then she says, in verse 8, she says, happy are thy men. Happy
are
these,
I serve. Praise the Lord.
I tell you what, you hang around Jesus and you'll get happy.
Amen.
Amen.
She says, which stand continually before thee and then hear thy wisdom. You know, she didn't say they was happy because they had the meat. And that because that they were in the presence, or that they had riches and stuff like that. Oh, I missed the phrase in there. It says, right. It says, they're a para. Well, that has some unusual power. That's right. I said, you know what? I'm glad that I can be adorned with the praises of God.
Amen.
I can be adorned with cursing God. And I'm adorned by the grace of God. And I'm adorned in His righteousness.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm not adorned in the old song anymore. I got that new song that's on that says, what is it? He can even praise. And
so amen.
That's my apparel.
Praise the Lord.
That's my apparel. And that's y'all's apparel, too. And she says, happy are thy men, happy are thy saints. She says, they stand continually before
praise
what?
Jesus. Praise the Lord.
They're around Him. And that's why they're happy.
Amen.
That's why they're satisfied.
Amen.
They're around Him.
Amen.
And I like to say, even if Solomon was poor,
amen.
I say, as long as they're around Solomon,
amen.
They're going to be happy.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Because I think the disciples were satisfied to be around the Lord and He wasn't rich in His day.
That's right. Amen. So,
keep that one. Then he says, blessed be the Lord God in verse 9, which delighteth in thee. Jesus, the Lord says, this is my son, whom I'm well pleased.
Amen.
To set thee on the throne of Israel.
Amen.
He's on the throne right now.
Amen.
I said, the shadow. Solomon's the shadow.
Right.
And the Lord right now is sitting on the throne. And it says in verse 9, she gave unto the king 120 talents of gold. She gave him that. She gave him what she brought. And she came in with all his riches and goods. She says, I really want to impress old Solomon. She said, I got the best I got. And when she come in there, she didn't swoon in her riches anymore. She swooned in his riches.
Amen.
And so, but you know, she still gave what she had.
Amen.
She gave the best thing that she had brought with her. You know? And she said, well, I don't have 120 talents of gold this morning. But you know what? Jesus said, he said, where a man profit gain the whole world lose his own soul. We ought to give ourselves.
Amen.
Unto the
Amen.
So that's something precious. That's something that's got some worth in it. And then it says in verse 13, one last time, the king of Solomon gave unto Queen of Sheba all her desires. Whatsoever she asked. See, we always think it's a very negative thing. Boy, give myself unto God. And have no strings attached. Give it all to Him. But then it says that He gave something back.
Amen.
All her desires.
All her desires.
All her desires.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Sounds
good.
Rich food.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise.
Praise.
Look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us,
amen.
That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever considered the love of God. If you've ever really just contemplated the love of God, or ever considered what the Scriptures had to say concerning the love of God, or ever just even meditated upon the love of God. It says, what manner of love?
Amen.
What manner of love was it? What kind of a love is the love of God? And I just take you to a few scripture, and just let's look and see what kind of a love the love of God is. Look in Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3.
Amen.
Jeremiah 31 verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Therefore with loving kindness.
Amen.
Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn.
Amen.
What kind of a love is the love of God? It's an everlasting love.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
A manner that the love of God loves us with, He loves us with an everlasting love.
Amen.
The love of God will have no end. There is no end to the love of God.
Amen.
God's love is characterized by being everlasting. It has no end. So one might ask, well, how long will God's love be around? Just as long as He's around.
Amen.
And you know how long He's going to be around? The Bible says He's from everlasting to everlasting.
Amen.
He had no beginning, He'll have no end, and His love is the same way.
Amen.
Amen.
It's an everlasting love. And then look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, and for His great love, wherewith He loved us.
Amen.
What kind of love is the love of God?
Amen.
Brethren, it's a great love.
Amen.
How great? So great that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son,
amen,
that whosoever believeth in him
should
not perish, but have everlasting life.
Hallelujah.
It's a great love. So great that when we were dead in trespasses and sins, and we walked according to the course of this world and the spirit and the prince of the power of the air, that when we were the children of disobedience and we went according to the lust of our flesh and we were by nature the children of wrath, how great was it that but God, who was so rich in mercy, he loved us with his love. He loved us with a great love.
Amen.
His love. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, with he loved us.
Amen. Amen.
How great. So great.
Amen.
Well, then we have another one. Here we have over here in Ephesians 5, verse 22. You see another thing concerning the love of God. Ephesians 5, 22. I'm sorry, 5:25. Ephesians 5:25. Husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church,
amen,
and gave himself for it.
Thank you.
What kind of a love is the love of God? It's a sacrificial love.
Amen.
It's a love that's so great that he spared not his own Son.
Amen.
It's a love that's so great that the Lord Jesus gave himself for us.
Amen.
He gave himself
as a sacrifice
for us.
Yeah.
You know, that's not what the kind of love, the love of God is. It's a sacrificial love.
Yeah.
And someone might say, well, how do I know that about the love of God? Or how do I know that God loves? And I say that Christ died for our sins.
Amen.
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 That's how you know that God so loves us, because Christ died for our sins.
Amen.
I see the love of God. I know the love of God in a manifestation, in the act, the great act, that Christ died for our sins. You know, there's a track out called Famous Last Words of Famous Men. Last Words of Famous Men. And on one side they have these men who are lost, who died without Christ. And then on the other side they have the words of these men who died with Christ and who died in Christ. And it says here, you know, over here, Plato, it has Plato's words. And here's what he said, oh, causes of causes, pity me. Oh, causes of causes, pity me. And then Spurgeon's words were, Jesus died for me. You see the difference?
Amen.
Jesus died for me.
Amen.
Amen. And then the last one, of course, certainly not the least, look in Romans chapter 5.
Amen.
Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, a very familiar verse, verse 8. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What kind of a love is the love of God? It's an unconditional love. It's not conditioned on who you are or what you can do.
Thank the Lord.
It's just conditioned on himself of who
amen.
He is and what
amen.
He does.
Amen.
He says when we were yet sinners, the Bible doesn't say here, but God commended his love toward us in that when we got right with God, Christ died for us.
Right.
If we got right with God, when we would need it, that Christ died for us. But thank God he meets us just as right. That doesn't mean you can go out and live any kind of life you want to live and live like the devil. It means that God meets you just as you are, just as a sinner. That's the way he wants you to come to him. But then when you do, oh, brethren, the good news is that he saves you. He'll save you from your sin, and he'll change your life. But the thing is, he doesn't meet you as a saved man, and he doesn't meet you as a changed man, or a religious man, or whatever kind of, or a godly one. He meets you just as what you really are. He meets you as a sinner. What kind of a love is the love of God? It's an unconditional love. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for
amen.
Us.
Amen.
For sinners. Those who were the very opposite of what he is.
Amen.
But yet, it says, he commended his love toward them. Toward us. And he sent his Son. And his Son died for us.
Amen.
What manner of love that the Father has bestowed
praise
upon
the Lord.
That we should be called the sons of God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
What manner of love.
Thank you for your love.
Turn
to Philippians chapter 4.
Praise the Lord.
Philippians is my favorite book in the Bible. Because I've been a Christian, these four little chapters, I guess they lift me more than anything I know. And I'm sure there's some great doctrines taught throughout the whole book, and I've read the whole book. I don't just read Philippians, but many a time when I'm down, I turn to the book of Psalms, or I read Philippians, and go over and over and over. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always.
Amen.
Rejoice in the Lord always.
Always.
Rejoice.
Rejoicing is a part of our Christian
experience.
We're to be rejoicing. We've taken out 4 days, morning and night, to rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
We want to rejoice in the Lord, whatever happens. We don't want anything to steal our joy. We don't want anything to take it away from us. We want to rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
We're occupied with Him. And you know, no matter what comes our way, no matter what our circumstances this morning, and some of you have some bad circumstances in your life this morning, anytime you get 120 people together like this, there's going to be somebody with some trouble. But the Bible says rejoice in the Lord always.
Amen.
And then he repeats it. He says, maybe you didn't get it the first time. And again I say, rejoice.
Amen.
And then he says, rejoice in your heart.
Amen.
Then he says, the Lord is at hand. Look at verse 5. The Lord is at hand. Where is the Lord?
He's right at hand.
Amen. He's right at hand.
Amen.
You know, if you have your tools at hand, there where you can reach it.
Amen.
I want you to know, the Lord's at hand.
Amen.
The Lord, He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I imagine most of you in your lost state, or maybe even in your Christian state, would not have voluntarily chose this place.
Amen.
I believe you've been gathered.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
I believe the Lord brought you.
Amen.
I believe the Lord drew you. And as He drew you and He brought you, He gathered you unto Himself. One of the things a lot of people don't like about this little church is that Jesus is the head and we recognize Him as Lord.
Amen.
We don't have any other name and we don't just have one preacher. Amen. Have you ever noticed all the voices around here preaching?
Amen.
You don't like them all, do you?
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
But you know what? We all like the Lord.
Amen.
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 And He doesn't always fit our own personalities or whatever. But you know what? The Lord takes our diversity.
Amen.
You know, to build this building, we didn't just need all one before.
That's right.
There are more things in here than just one before. There's some other things inside this building, just nails. Oh, there's nails. There's a lot of nails in this building. There's twice as many as we probably needed. So we had to go back and do it twice, everything we did, you know. But at any rate, there's a lot of labor in this building right here. We did everything twice. And they say, you know, you put the thing up there, does it fit? No. Does it touch? Nail it. That's what we did. We got a building built. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But you know, there's diversity. There's some diversity inside this room here. There are different personalities here. But you know something? The Lord is at hand for every single one of us.
Amen.
I'm thankful to know that when I get in trouble, the Lord is at hand.
Amen.
He's not a God afar off. I can rejoice in Him today because He's a God at hand.
Amen.
He's close to me. He said He's close when He's pruning. He prunes me an awful lot. I don't know about you. But He said He's finally close to me. And I'm thankful for the closeness of the Lord. And then He says, verse 6, be careful for nothing. Don't you fret yourself about anything.
Amen.
Now some of you are fretting. You can't rejoice because you're fretting. You got too much fretting and you can't rejoice. You
know, I just can't rejoice because
He says, don't worry about it.
Rejoice.
Don't worry about it. Rejoice in the Lord always.
Amen.
Be careful for nothing. Don't fret about anything. Don't you go home and be worried. Don't be worried about that. Turn your mind off of those things.
Amen.
Look to the Lord Jesus Christ and rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice.
Amen. Amen.
Now, you do have some problems. You do have some things that would worry you. Here's what He says, do about it. He says, but in everything,
Amen.
Everything, that's the big thing, and that's the little thing,
Amen.
That's everything in between.
Amen.
But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving.
Amen.
With thanksgiving. Can you thank the Lord for the rebuke?
Yes.
Can you thank the Lord for the embarrassment?
Amen.
Can you thank the Lord for the trial?
Thank you.
Can you thank the Lord for whatever's coming your way? He said, in everything.
Amen.
With prayer and supplication, that's pleading. With thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
You got something on your heart. You pray. This morning we sat down right here. I prayed about something. The Lord answered it just like that. I prayed the Lord.
Amen.
The other night I prayed about something. The Lord answered it just like that. And God didn't always answer my prayers that quickly. I'm thankful for every once in a while He gives me something just right away.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
It blesses my heart. I won't say praise the Lord. But you know what? He does hear and answer prayer.
Amen.
His house is to be called a house of prayer.
Amen.
He's known as the God that answers prayer.
Amen.
And from the beginning of this book to the end of this book, we have the prayers of His people and He answers the prayer. You say, well, why do we have to pray? He knows what we need anyway, because He said pray. That's why.
That's right.
Amen.
He said, that's the way you do it. I know what you need. I'm going to supply your need. I'm going to take care of you. But you pray about it.
Amen.
Right.
You ask me about it. God.
Amen.
If it just came your way without your asking, you'd think it was just something of fate or chance or luck. But it's an amazing thing when I ask God for something specific. Lord, this is what I need. Lord, do this. Lord, help here. And He does it. I say, thank you, Lord, because I know where it came from.
Amen. That's right.
If all of a sudden I walked in the house and there was just a $10 bill on the table, I might pick it up and walk out and spend it and be thankful for it, but didn't know who gave it. But if I ask my wife, I say, leave me $10 on the table before I go. The $10, I say, thank you, honey, for leaving me the $10 and walk out. I know where it came from.
Amen.
We need to ask the Lord. And when we ask the Lord specifically, we know where it came from. We know how to give thanks.
Amen.
And by the way, you ought to make your request with thanksgiving.
That's right.
Even while you're requesting, you ought to be thanking the Lord that He's hearing you. You ought to be thanking the Lord that He's answering you. You ought to be thanking the Lord for the result He's going to bring out of it. Amen. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be done unto God, not unto the pastor.
Amen.
Not unto your wife. Not unto your husband. Not unto your mother, your father. Who are you praying to? Who's the supplier of your needs? It's God.
Amen.
Then He says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'm thankful for His peace. Do you have His peace this morning? If you're not saved, you need the peace with God.
Amen.
Because the Bible says, if you're not saved, you're an enemy of God.
That's right.
If you have not by faith repented of your sins, received Him as your Lord and Savior, you are the enemy of God.
That's right.
And no matter what you may say, as the enemy of God, you'll be separated from God forever in a place called hell. What a horrible, horrible thing. I hope that all of you here today have peace with God. You get that by simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for you. I'm so thankful that a little over 27 years ago, I got peace with God. I had religion 10 years before that, but praise God, I got peace with God. Well, it's the greatest day of my life, no doubt about it. The day I got saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, there is a peace of God. And it's different, it's above, and it's beyond peace with God.
Amen.
It's one thing to have peace with God. Many, many believers have peace with God in the sense Jesus is paying for their debt. Their sins. They're dressed in the righteousness of Jesus. They're going to heaven, going to spend an eternity with Him. And every one of them ought to be a thankful person because of that. They have peace with God. But I want you to know there is a blessing for Christians. Everyone can have it. Most don't get it. Everyone can have it. It's the peace of God that passes all understanding.
Amen.
It can carry them through the jail cell, bless your heart. It can carry him through sickness and trouble and trial.
Yes,
it can carry him through disappointment and embarrassment and trouble. It's the peace of God that passes all understanding.
Amen.
I'm thankful there's peace with God, and I'm thankful for the peace of God for those who pray and submit their things unto Him with thanksgiving. And then he says in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. I want you to think on some true things. Somebody's been thinking on some bad things. I want you to turn your mind around and think on some true things. You say, well, I just can't keep my mind doing it right. Well, put it on true things. Amen?
Amen.
Just don't let your mind wander aimlessly down any old alley. It'll find a trash can for sure.
That's right.
I'm telling you, aim your direction. Put your mind where it ought to be. He said, think on things that are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure, lovely, good report, virtue.
Praise!
Amen.
Amen.
Don't take praise, but you don't think of praise.
Amen.
Right. You start thinking about praise,
amen,
it'll come out of your mouth.
Amen.
You get up in the morning, you say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Somebody will say, what did you say? Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You begin to say, praise the Lord. Lord, I praise you for this. I praise you for that. I praise you for this. I praise that. Somebody said, what did you say? I said, praise the Lord.
Amen.
And you walk into the door and somebody say, how you doing? Blessed, brother. Blessed. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Well, think on these things. Men, look at verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This chapter 4 is such a blessing to me.
Amen.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Bless your heart. What's your problem today? You can be a victor over it through Christ.
That's right.
Amen.
What's your besetting sin? You can be a victor over it through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. What is the difficulty that you face? You can be a victor over it through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I can do all things. You know, the Apostle Paul is speaking here directly about himself. He said, I have been full with much, and I can do that through Christ. You know, I have been empty with nothing.
Amen.
I can do that through Christ. I can praise God in the midst of everything, and I can praise God in the midst of nothing. I can do all things through through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You know, a lot of people have a problem with believers who have strong faith. They consider them proud. And you know, that's not altogether true. The proud person and the person with strong faith will look very much alike. You know what the proud person will say? He says, I can do it. You know what the person with faith says? I can do it. You know what the difference is? The person with faith is through Christ.
That's
all it is. You better be careful when you talk about somebody's pride when they're stepping out by faith. They might be in real faith. But you better be careful when you say, I can do it, that you're doing it through Christ.
Amen.
And in verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I tell you what, I've got a God that supplies my every need.
Amen.
I look back on 27 and a half years of being saved, and I'm thankful my God has supplied my needs. He didn't give me all my wants. He didn't give me all my requests, but he supplied all my needs.
Amen.
And I can raise my Ebenezer this morning, my rock of testimony.
Amen.
I'm going to raise it up. Hitherto has the Lord helped
Amen.
Me.
Amen.
Up until this day and all the days past, I want you to know I serve a faithful God.
Amen.
I rejoice in the name of my Lord.
Amen.
I rejoice in his word. I rejoice in what he's done for me. It hasn't always been what I wanted. It hasn't always been what I like. But as I look at it and come down in, I believe it's been the will of God for Lendo Tengay, and it's been for my good and his glory.
Amen.
And I can rejoice that my God has supplied all my needs. He said, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, we can rejoice.
Amen.
Rejoice in the Lord.
Always again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord.
It talks about a marriage.
Amen.
Like being married.
Amen.
You don't we know that?
Amen.
And there's going to be a marriage one day, and it's going to be the marriage of
the
Lamb. The reason that's so special is because there's going to be another wedding, another marriage, and that's the marriage of the church.
Amen.
It's going to be the same thing. The church will marry the Lamb.
Amen.
And I just praise the Lord for the garments that the Lamb of God has
Amen.
Set forward
Amen.
For that church to wear.
Amen.
Over 12 years ago, when I slipped in the side door of a church building in the west side of this town, the thoughts of slipping out the back window. the very lovely young lady, the most beautiful girl in the world to me, started down the aisle. And she had a beautiful garment on. She was lovely. But the truth was, she'd just been in a serious accident.
Right.
She had a scar from here to here. She had false teeth. I'd been working here all the during our courtship trying to get an ingrown toenail from being serious enough for an operation. But she had a garment on.
Amen.
And the Lord has sent us a garment because in ourselves we are worthy to be his bride. Praise the Lord for the blood. We're covered in the blood.
Amen.
We can meet the bridegroom with the garment on.
Amen.
Step to him
Amen.
In eternity bring the marriage feast of the Lamb.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you for our garment.
Amen.
Let's sing this loud. Let's sing the 99.
Amen.
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 Let's stand and sing.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. We want to welcome all of you that happen to be guests with us today. You might not have known it, but we're going to have dinner on the ground. A bunch of our finest cooks have done their best work.
Amen.
And they brought it here today, and there's plenty of food for everybody. So if you will, just stay with us. If you didn't bring anything, don't feel embarrassed at all. Next time you can bring twice as much. Amen. No problem at all. We'll let you stay. So you just come and enjoy the feast with us. We've been on a feasting time.
Amen. Amen.
And 4 nights we've been feasting. Feasting on the Word of God.
Amen.
Feasting on the living bread.
Amen.
And feasting on some physical food that's been absolutely delicious.
Amen.
Feasting on some wonderful fellowship that we've been drawn together here.
Amen.
And so we welcome you to stay with us. We'll again have meetings tonight. We will have the Lord's Supper tonight.
Amen.
We'll gather around the Lord's table and worship the Lord in open meeting, such as you've seen this morning. You're welcome to stay. We want you to stay. So we won't force you to. If you want to leave, of course, you're welcome to do that too. But we wanted to make you feel at home and welcome in our meeting today and with our dinner and our fellowship. Any announcement need to be made before we thank the Lord for the food? Yes.
Yes. This will be my last meeting now, so I need to let everybody know. There's a yellow card over there. And what they are is they're asking for an independent prayer. I know you all pray for us and everything, but it's really a blessing to know who's praying when, if you would help with that. But taking a card, putting the missionary's name down, that you're willing to pray for and committing yourself to pray for. And then on the back, if you could put